From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, the long-awaited trial of James Holmes in the so-called Aurora movie theater shooting soon gets underway in Colorado.
But first, Comcast has officially abandoned its bid to buy Time Warner Cable. Today, we move on, were the words of Comcast Chief Executive Brian Roberts in a statement released this morning. The merger would have combined the nation's two largest cable operators, but the $45.2 billion deal disintegrated after it became clear that the government was mobilizing to block the deal. Joining us for more on this from New York is Michael Regan, editor for Bloomberg News. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And Attorney General Eric Holder, in a written statement released this morning, said this news is the best outcome for American consumers. But when Comcast decided to pursue this deal back in February of last year, they obviously thought it had a good chance of surviving the regulatory process. What happened?
Well, as you said, it really just became crystal clear that the government was unlikely to approve the merger because it would concentrate so much power in one company. Bloomberg reported yesterday that FCC officials basically told both companies that they were leaning towards concluding that the merger doesn't help customers. FCC had planned to call a hearing on the deal, which effectively would kill the chance of the deal because it would take months to complete and potentially drag the approval process out so long that it would go beyond the time frame that the companies had planned to complete the deal in. So that was sort of the backdrop. And then this morning it was announced that the deal was being abandoned.
But and I hate to be cynical about this, doesn't Comcast have pretty good connections politically in Washington? The thought was when this was talked about originally, it was going to go through.
Right. Comcast has a very large lobbying force in Washington. It was viewed that they were very sort of close to President Obama. But part of what's happened is the government really has taken a lot of interest lately in especially in Internet service providers and net neutrality. And so that's part of the backdrop that, you know, it's being viewed as sort of what helped push the government away from this deal as a good thing for consumers.
So you're saying that what we've seen just recently with net neutrality and the FCC in particular, siding with a lot of consumers who said don't create a tiered system in the internet, that may have weighed in on this deal?
You know, it's hard to say if it's directly a cause and effect, but it was definitely going on in the background there. The FCC, for the first time, began defining internet service as a public utility using the rules that govern phone companies. And basically, as you said, that, you know, would restrict companies from charging different tiers for access to the internet that they're providing. And this deal would have really caused Comcast to be the big, it's already the biggest internet service provider, but this combining with Time Warner Cable would have put it in 47% of the homes that receive what the government considers broadband. So it clearly would have been, you know, the most powerful internet service provider in the country.
Mike, one of the companies that had a real stake in this is Netflix, which was not too happy about the idea of this deal from the start, in part because a lot of people use their Comcast internet or their Time Warner internet in order to stream their Netflix, and they were worried that this would give one of their competitors from the content side too much control over the system that they rely on to get their product to consumers.
Right. And Netflix, you know, there was a lot of sort of contentious business negotiations between Netflix and Time Warner. That being one of them, you know, Netflix was not happy to be charged basically for all the bandwidth that they suck up from Comcast's internet. And Netflix referred to it as, quote, holding our joint customers hostage with poor performance to extract payments from us. So in other words, they felt that, you know, an even stronger Comcast would be able to basically, you know, slow down their service if they weren't getting the payments they felt they needed to, you know, to facilitate all that traffic that Netflix causes.
What about Charter Communications? This is another company affected by all of this. They tried to acquire Time Warner Cable last year. Could Charter try again?
Yeah, that certainly is a possibility a lot of people are talking about. And remember, Charter and Comcast had sort of were going to team up for Time Warner and basically split the assets between them. Comcast was very interested in the New York region of Time Warner, which obviously one of the biggest biggest regions there is for a company like this. So now it's really up in the air. You know, it's likely there will be, you know, some more deals coming in this space. I think a lot of people are bracing for that and expecting that. What exactly they look like, though, is anyone's guess.
And what about Comcast? Are they likely to still try to grow in this kind of way?
Right. Well, Comcast, you know, it's still obviously a very financially strong company. They really wanted this deal, so it is a bit of a loss, a huge loss for them, really. But they've created a new business line that basically is going to focus on investments in growth businesses all over the world. You know, outside the United States, they'll have less, potentially less obstacles to expanding. And analysts are floating all sorts of ideas of how Comcast could expand. One interesting idea is that they could use their big network of Wi-Fi hotspots to actually introduce a mobile phone service. Others are talking about, you know, they could possibly expand their programming lineup abroad. So, you know, it's obvious that Comcast will be looking at all sorts of options as far as how it can grow in the future.
Mike Regan at Bloomberg News. Mike, thanks.
Thank you.